calling State Affairs to order at 3:04 p.m. Tuesday, April 25, 2017 in the Max Grunberg Room. Will the Secretary please call the roll?
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Chuck. Representative Josephson, alternate. Not here. Representative Knopf.
Here.
Representative Wohl.
Here.
Representative Kopp, alternate, not present. Vice Chair Ledoux, not present. Representative Birch.
Here.
Chair Kaiser.
Here. And with five members present, we have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Kelsey, for helping us run the meeting today. And also, thank you to Stephanie, who's been with us all session. And this will be her last State Affairs Committee in 2017. I know. We have Kleenex, though, so you're okay, Representative.
I'm done, too, then.
Ms. Barrett Wilbur in her office will be capably stepping in to staff the State Affairs Committee going forward. So the dream team continues. We have three items on today's agenda. House Bill 190, Representative Tallarico's bill relating to the regulation and adoption of the adoption of regulations and oral comment. HB 224, second hearing from Representative Johnston, relating to reemployment of retired teachers and administrators, and House Bill 125, the allow Hmong veterans and driver's license legislation. As mentioned last week, for House Bill 125, we'll look to committee action. We also have public testimony today, possibly move that bill. But on the first bill on today's agenda is House Bill 190, and our office had a conversation with the sponsor's office, and a lot of work is being done. Ms. Morris, would you like to comment briefly, or I can just sort of say we had a conversation, and the sponsor's office is continuing to work on a committee substitute and having the appropriate conversations, and so that is moving forward. And so for the purposes of today, we'll provide that update and move forward, which takes us to the second item on today's agenda, House Bill 224, reemployment of retired teachers and administrators, from Representative Johnston. Thank you for joining us. We had invited testimony last week and did not have time to get to everyone, and those invited testifiers are back today, and per my comments, they will be given time to present testimony and also be available for questions. So we can dive into that, although perhaps afford any opportunity to comment. Nope, right in the invited testimony. So Sean Duzek with the Alaska Superintendents Association, Mary McMahon with the Alaska Council on School Administrators, and Peter Hopfner with the Alaska Association of School Boards are all online as invited testimony. And we'll start off with Mr. Duzek. Mr. Duzek, if you can put yourself on the record, state your affiliation, and please present your invited testimony.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I am Sean Dusick, Superintendent of the Kenai Peninsula School District and President of the Alaska Superintendents Association. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on HB 224. I also want to thank Representatives Johnston and Ortiz for sponsoring this legislation. While the Kenai has a good retention rate and successful recruitment practices, we do see a problem on the horizon and currently have difficulty finding high-quality candidates for positions in our schools accessible only by boat or plane, and also in special education. In speaking for the Superintendents Association, recruitment and retention is a serious issue for many of our districts for all educator positions. Our members are the individuals who are making the ultimate hiring decisions in each district and are confronted with the increased difficulty of doing so today. As an organization, preparing, attracting, and retaining qualified educators is a high priority. Quality education depends on effective educators for all students. Alaska as a whole is experiencing a shortage of qualified educators, which includes teachers, principals, and superintendents. In response, ASA strongly encourages the development of comprehensive statewide programs to prepare, attract, and retain high-quality educators and professionals. HB 224 is a piece of that equation. A pressing issue is unfilled vacancies after school starts. This is what this bill is all about, helping districts fill vacancies that they have advertised for and have been unable to fill to start the school year. the choice comes down to having much larger class sizes or a qualified, competent, consistent teacher with our students to allow for quality personalization. The situation will only get worse, as evidenced by the fact that at the Alaska Teacher Placement Job Fair this year, there were more hiring personnel than applicants. This is unprecedented, but I believe it is because of the state budget uncertainty, the contraction of the Alaskan economy, and basically the law of supply and demand. Alaska has and will see fewer educators make this state their home for the long term for these reasons. ASA is in strong support of HB 224 as one tool that will help school districts in a time where they need help to attract teaching and leadership talent to the education profession. It is not the silver bullet, but it can provide some relief. Our state has a long way to go to once again become the most attractive destination for education and for people like me back in 1991. This bill doesn't address cost of living and or the competitive compensation necessary for long-term recruitment and retention, nor offer much, if any, cost savings. But it does help with the most pressing issue of opening schools with unfilled positions. On behalf of the Alaska Superintendents Association, I ask for your support of House Bill 224. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Duzak. Questions from the committee? Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm trying to understand the supply and demand problem. And it's so it's not just Alaska. It's a lot. It's sort of a nationwide problem. But Alaska seems to be feeling it as bad or worse than other states. How much of that is linked to the number of teachers that Alaska is producing, and how much of it is just linked to people not going into education because there's better options that probably pay more money?
Through the chair, Representative Wall, thank you for the question. You know, I think nationwide, as you mentioned, this is a problem. And Alaska used to be, back when I came to Alaska, was the most competitive in terms of compensation, but also quality of life. Even though we were just coming off of the great decline of 1988, still was a lot of attractiveness coming to Alaska. Districts were able to support teachers in a manner that is getting more and more difficult because of the uncertainty of our economic status right now. You know, we're grateful for all the support that the legislature has provided, but the biggest level of support we need now is a plan. I didn't necessarily want to go into all of that, but that really is something that does set us back. Currently in McKinney, I'm holding 30 positions. I'm not even advertising yet because I don't know what's going to happen with the budget process. That will in turn push us back to hiring or trying to hire people in June. And even if we are able to find people, it is very likely due to the people that are still available, we may have to look to rehire most or all of those positions again next year. That's just bad business, and that's not good for the kids. And so right now, the immediate concern, from my perspective, is just having the plan in place and being able to move long-term forward. You know, we did well in recruitment and retention, I believe, across the state when we had the cost differential funding formula put in place with a 3 to 5 year plan of funding. It was certain we were able to go out and sell that to people out in the lower 48. Now we don't have that, and I think that that's a part of the equation.
Paula?
Yeah, thank you. So I guess what you're saying is, yes, it would be nice to be like we were in the old days where we were paying more than many other states to attract teachers up here. I certainly know people that came up here to teach because the money was good back then. And the other thing is the lack, the uncertainty that you have every budget year where you don't know how much you're going to get, you don't know how many teachers you can keep or hire. So both of those issues are in the forefront right now, right?
Through the chair, Representative Roy, yes, that's my opinion. And it's really, last year we didn't really know what our full budget was until July, simply because of some of the things that, happened with vetoes and all of that. And this year it doesn't look like we're going to know any sooner. So it's very difficult when you're speaking with prospective teachers that are from out of state, because currently, UA isn't producing as many. I appreciate the goal that President Johnson has, but that's a few years off to be able to supply 90% of the teachers, and we're going to work really closely with him to make that happen. But in the immediate, that uncertainty is definitely having an impact. And from a large district perspective, we're having issues, but from the rural perspective, they're definitely feeling the pain, and I don't have an actual figure of how many openings there were at the beginning of the year last year, but there was a significant amount. And the thing is on the Kenai, there's a lot of people that retire here. It's very interesting, great place to live, as you probably all know, and a lot of people like to retire here. A lot of retired teachers live on the Kenai, and I think that they would be interested in something like this, especially in rural areas, for a year to provide that consistency until we can get things hired with certainty on what the economic plan is going to be.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Knopf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sean Gary Knopf here. So I'm real curious. I'm curious about, the need for the bill. I obviously understand the intent. But we have local retired teachers now down there who are employed in the interior as contract teachers, I understand. I'm not going to mention any names, but they are receiving the federal per diem rate, is my understanding. So I guess what keeps us from just continuing down that path instead of putting them back on payroll?
Through the chair, Representative Knopf, thanks for that question. We do have a number of retired teachers that will do some contract work, but part of the issue is that they will only, first off, they can only work so much time, and if they are in a specialized area, they are able to leverage a little bit better contract. Whereas with this, if they have and they have the ability to work long term, keep their retirement, they would be more likely, in my estimation, in my conversations with some of these retired teachers, to actually sign the full year contract and fulfill a full year so that we have a consistency with the kids from the very beginning of the school year.
Just one follow-up. So I guess I need to get with the sponsor to be able to fully understand this, Sean, but the 12.5% that districts are going to continue to contribute to the retirement system on their behalf, is it your understanding they're going to receive additional benefit from that? I'm kind of wondering. I didn't think that they were, so I was kind of wondering why the contribution rate.
Through the chair, Representative Knopf, that level of detail, I haven't explored in depth. My understanding, though, is that the purpose of this is just a short-term measure to help provide the consistency from day one to fill a position that hadn't been filled, and that's what's attracted to the Superintendents Association. As far, I don't believe there's going to be any or not much cost savings in this whole thing. It's really all about providing a high-quality instructor in the classroom. Yeah.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this looks like an excellent option here for a school district, and I'm just wondering from the standpoint of long-term engagement, is it limited to like a year, or is it? I was just looking through that to see if there's a 1 year cap on the duration, or can this go on for several years?
Through the chair, I don't believe that there's any cap on this, but from my perspective as a superintendent making the hiring decisions, I would work as hard as I can to limit it to 1 year, because I want to fill that position with a long-term person moving forward. And this is just, I mean, my opinion, I would only use it for an emergency for a year.
Yep.
All up?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, thank you very much, Mr. Duzak, for that testimony. Next, apologize about the pronunciation, Peter Hefner with the Alaska Association of School Boards. If you're online, can you put yourself on the record, state your affiliation, and present your invited testimony?
Yes, good afternoon, State of Affairs Committee members. Are you able to hear me?
We are. Yes, please proceed.
Excellent. And my name is Peter Hefner. Excellent job in pronunciation there. I am the president of the Alaska Association of School Boards this year. I'm also a longtime school board member from Cordova, Alaska. I'm speaking in favor of House Bill 224, the Retire Rehire Bill. I appreciate the amended language that has been added. This bill benefits all schools. There's a nationwide shortage of teachers. School districts are not able to fill all of the open teaching positions. From the U.S. Department of Education Office of Post-Secondary Education, there's a listing of the teacher shortages. It was published in August of 2016. When you look at that list, one will note that from 2005 to 2011, Alaska had shortages in math, science, and special education. When you go to 2012 to 2014, we have math, science, special education, and social studies. Then moving on to this year, 2015 to 16, there are shortages in English language arts, mathematics, science, social studies, special education, and education. So last year in Alaska at the Anchorage Teacher Fair, there were 265 attendees looking for teaching jobs. This year, the number declined to 213. 35 districts are represented, and there were 538 open teaching positions, as well as 70 support positions. So you can see there's a vacancy there. We are not able to bring as many teachers to the Anchorage Teacher Fair as we have in the past. Nationwide, fewer individuals are entering the teaching and education field. Additionally, it has been found that teachers are leaving the field mid-career at an increasingly earlier rate. School districts in Alaska are recruiting in Seattle, Minneapolis, Phoenix, Dallas, Austin, just to name a few. This bill, House Bill 224, can help address the teacher crisis that is already developing. There are retired teachers living in rural communities that are available in the crisis setting when a teacher abruptly leaves, for example. These retired individuals understand the community and the culture. Additionally, AASB has a resolution to support this bill, Resolution 4.10, urging the state of Alaska to continue the Retire Rehire program. So in summing up, in some school districts, some teaching and administrative positions are difficult to fill. This is one more tool in our district's toolboxes. It will be helpful for late resignations. It could be effective in filling late-year maternity leaves. A lot of talent exists in villages, but a retiree doesn't want a long-term commitment. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to testify, and I do support House Bill 224, as it is good for students in all of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hefner. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. And that takes us to Mary McMahon with Alaska Council of School Administrators. Ms. McMahon, can you put yourself on the record, state your affiliation, and present your testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and many thanks to Representatives Johnston and Ortiz for co-sponsoring this bill brought forth by Alaska's educators. For the record, I am Mary McMahon. I am the principal at Colony Middle School in the Mount Seabrook School District. I am also the president of the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals and serve as the president of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. I'm also a 43-year Alaskan who has a student at the University of Alaska Anchorage and two kids in the public education system. The Alaska Council of School Administrators is the umbrella organization for four of Alaska's premier education organizations. Like I said earlier, Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals, the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals, the Alaska Superintendent Association, and the Alaska School Business Officials, and many other school administrators. As an organization, each year, the Alaska Council of School Administrators works on joint position statements to help inform legislative policy. These positions are seen by our collective membership as the most urgent needs in education by educators on the ground serving Alaska students. This year I chaired that committee. These positions are voted on by each membership before they become final steps. So what you have before you are positions supported by all. Preparing, attracting, and retaining qualified educators is a high priority. Quality education depends on effective educators for all students. Alaska is experiencing a shortage of qualified educators, teachers, principals, and superintendents. In response, ECSA strongly encourages the development of comprehensive statewide programs to prepare, attract, and retain high-quality educators and professionals. ACSA supports innovative pathways that are needed to attract leadership talent to the education profession. House Bill 224 is an innovative approach. It is a tool that will help school districts in a time where they need help. HB 224, Retire, Rehire, would allow for the reemployment of retired teachers and administrators to help districts fill vacancies and is a necessary tool to help meet school district personnel needs in both urban and rural districts. We are experiencing the worst educator shortage Alaska has ever experienced. I'd like to share that I started my career in Kotzebue. I was born in Kodiak. I started my career in Kotzebue. I worked in Kishinemit School District in Chibok, Alaska. I now work in Palmer. And when I went to the job fair in Alaska 19 years ago, there were thousands of people in line to get a job for working as a teacher or administrator in Alaska. This year was the first year that I was actually called to not come in to interview candidates from the Matsu Borough School District team of interviewers because we had no one to interview. So I'm telling you, these are different times we are facing, and I urge you and your committee to please give this bill due consideration and support it. Our children deserve the best, and when we have no one to choose from, we are not able to give our students the best. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. McMahon, for that testimony. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you again for taking the time to share your perspective and give the committee some thoughts to consider. That concludes our invited testimony for the bill, and it's my understanding that the sponsor's office is still at work with other stakeholders. And so for today, we'll hold the legislation and allow that work to continue and bring it back when the time is ready. Representative Knopp?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know if you're going to invite this bill sponsor up to answer some questions. Is that
absolutely, yeah. Representative Johnston. And Mr. Irvine. Representative Knopp, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Johnston, it's a good bill, and I sure do understand it. I guess the questions I had is you heard me ask about the 12.5%. I'm curious why we have that language in there, number one. And the other point I wanted to ask you about is I do know retired teachers who were up in the interior drawing the federal per diem rate of $300+ per day. So I guess I want to know why that isn't a viable option, you know, as we continue down that path what's being currently used today. And if they are rehired out of district, are they still going to be eligible for the per diem rate plus the wage rate? And so that's the type of things I was looking for.
Okay, through the chair, Jennifer Johnston, let me address your first question first. With the retirement pension programs, the way that is handled, no matter what, if it's PERS or TERS, is the way that each government entity is charged is for the salary base. And so that includes all of your defined benefit employees and all of your defined contribution employees, because there was no other way to come up with a fair approach to each employer in the state, the employer. So you had the same thing down the Kenai when you were assessed at 22% on your PERS for the Kenai. They assessed it on all employees that were getting a salary for the salary base. So that's why this is in there. There's no way of separating out anybody. It just doesn't work. You start separating out and your system starts falling apart. The second question, could you repeat that? Because I'm not quite sure.
As I mentioned, in the federal per diem rate right now, we have retired teachers who have hired back on the districts, and they are working probably not as employees, maybe as contract employees, but they do receive the federal per diem rate. And in the interior, the ones I know of are interior, the federal per diem rate is $300+ a day. I don't, and my understanding is that is the wage that they're drawing, it, you know, so I guess, is that system, I mean, if we can bring them back and pay them $300+ a day, is that not adequate? Does that not work for districts? And that's kind of my question. So if it doesn't work for districts, do they still draw a wage plus a federal per diem rate? And the reason that the 12.5% was a concern for me is, as you know, with the termination studies that we do now, so you take a department, we'll use accountants, for example, and you have 12, you can lay off 11, not trigger, but you pay that rate on the one or two that you have, not on the 12. And so that's kind of where I was fishing for that.
Right, and you know my background in termination studies, mm-hmm. and this has no effect on that. I can tell you that. The second question, I'm going to have to get back to you on it because I can't answer it, and I'm not sure if Robert can, so we'll have to get back to you on that one.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Further questions for the sponsor, HB224? I think you're free, Representative Johnston. Thank you for the legislation. And that takes us to the last bill on today's agenda, HB125, as noted earlier. It's my intent, and if it's the will of the committee, to move this legislation today after public testimony. We have the sponsor with us, Representative Tarr. Representative Ledoux joined us at 3:31. So for House Bill 125, Representative Tarr, if you have any comments or remarks you'd like to make before we open public testimony, please go ahead. Okay. We will proceed with public testimony, which I will open. We have in the Anchorage LIO, King Yang. I apologize for mispronunciations in advance, but Mr. Yang, please put yourself on the record, state any affiliation, and present your testimony.
Hi, my name is Kang Yang. I am a member of District 15, and so I just wanted to testify on behalf of many of the Hmong community members, as well as the millennials of the Hmong community members who haven't really been speaking up about this, but they are in full support of this, of House Bill 125. I think that this is an incredible opportunity to honor the Hmong who spent their childhood and teen years sacrificing their lives for the lives of American soldiers. Today, while my family and many other American families get to go home to warm home-cooked meals, many Hmong are still being killed and persecuted in Southeast Asia for aiding Americans during the Vietnam War. So, though we have one of the largest Hmong communities in America, growing up here, I still spend a lot of my 22 years of life having to explain to people who Hmong are and what our background is. My parents and grandparents are thankful for the opportunity to be here in America, and I think that it is fair for Americans, myself included, to show the same respect and honor to those that helped bring so many of America's family members home from the Vietnam War. House Bill 125 is a small way of honoring those who are still here. rather than ask yourselves why should we support this bill, I think you guys should ask yourselves why shouldn't we. Thank you for this opportunity to testify my support for House Bill 125.
Thank you, Ms. Yang. Any questions from the committee? Thank you for taking the time to testify today. And that takes us next on the list to Bob Dole with DMVA. Deputy Commissioner Dole, we have you down for public testimony. So you are very much welcome to share. Any comments to share with the committee?
For the record, Deputy Commissioner Bob Dole, State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. I think last week, Director Bertie Bowen explained all the reasons this, we support this bill. One added reason we didn't quite get in is last April, the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council looked at virtually the identical bill that was brought by Representative Ledoux. The Alaska Veterans Advisory Council consists of Alaskans from across the state and across veterans organizations in Alaska, and they voted as a council that they support state recognition of Lemonia's veterans to those that served in Vietnam to assist the U.S. forces there. That's all I have today.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for taking the time to join us. And next on line is Payfert Lee. Please put yourself on the record, state any affiliation, and present your testimony.
Yes, and thank you, and Mr. Chairman. My name is Dr. Lee, representing Small Alaska Community Inc. and Small American Veterans of Alaska. I am calling to support HB 125 for ID, driver license, and license plate for the Hmong veterans. I would like to let you know that starting February 28, 1961, to May 15, 1975, our Hmong soldier, he used for 10 to 30 people to die, rescue America from Lao Shan Dao on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, Lao Vietnam, at the Lima size 85 Cooper team with the radar of the CIA. And now soldiers, we have 300,000 soldiers. We buy 35,000, plus 11,000 missing and died in our cemetery. Totally, exactly, we die 46,000. American CIA living in South Vietnam, they have 580,000. But they died 58,000. The Hmong people, we say, American CIA died in thousands being back to U.S. Why? We never received any benefit from the CIA and the government yet. Now, have a Senator, Congress, and House, they all complain for Hmong people. They say that Americans cannot do nothing for the Hmong people before. But be sure, going back 1950 to 1975, who caused trouble for the Southeast Asia? Just only American and government and CIA. The reason we moved to the United States on December 1972, President Nixon, he come to Longchamp, Lima Site 28, the super base of the CIA. What is the president say? That president, he made another contract with General Ray Powell again. He said, Ray Powell, you must block the Ho Chi Minh Trail again. If you win it, I am to ask you for American population to support Hmong Highlander next 50 years again. When you lose the war, our Hmong Highlander people automatically take the underneath and go to the United States. President Bissena. After a couple of years later, on May 15, 1975, Super Bay and the Super Bowl, our winner war all end. So now, either generation or pass away, but American government should be respond to be passed the HB 125. Actually waiting for 42 years, then should be acknowledged for our sacrifice on behalf of the small, Tamil, and Lao people. 42 years in that time. If he is time for us to be acknowledged, many of the veterans have passed away. The more years we wait, all our veterans are no longer with us. From now, he is the state Alaska Affair Committee will pass the bill for us. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Bridge.
Would it be possible to request this testimony in written form, just as a supplement, if available?
I would agree. Thank you, Representative Bridge, for that suggestion. And Mr. Lee, I think we may have caught a few of those words, but some of it, I think, was lost to the connection. And if you'd be able to submit your testimony in writing, I know the committee would appreciate that, and that would be good to have on the record. But appreciate your taking the time. And I don't think there are any questions from the committee, but thank you for taking the time today. And that takes us to our next testifier, Mai Zong. Please put yourself on the record, state any affiliation, and maybe before you go, Representative Tart, do you have a comment or question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mai tried to testify last week, but because the connection wasn't so great, so her name is going to show up a second time, but that's why I said maybe she could try again today. And we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you, and I don't know, maybe if the microphone, if you're a little bit farther away from the microphone, or maybe try moving that around a little bit, and let's see if it works better.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Please go ahead, Mai Zong, and if the sound quality is poor, I will interrupt, and we'll see if we can try to make things work.
Okay, thank you for the chairs and for the committees. This is Mai Zong. I'm going to begin the Long Lasting Committee. I'm here today to testify from HB 125. The reason why I testify today is because the long people, I with the women work, and we live some of the Hmong people here today, and so that's why I'm here today. And also, we used to have a lot of people, Hmong people that sacrificed our lives for America, and now we still have a lot of Hmong people that are hiding in the jungles because of the war. We do, the Hmong people have been hunting down because of the war. During the war from 1961 to 1965. And they're still hiding because if the communists will still hold the Hmong people down, if they're still back in the jungle, they're still hiding because of the war.
In my... I wanted to interrupt quickly. I think we're still missing a good number of the words. If you may, because speak a little farther away from the receiver and see if that helps, or just change up something with what you're doing, because not every word is coming through.
Oh, okay. Hold on. No.
Are they at the
LIO
or the phone?
Okay. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Let's try for it. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hello.
We can hear you, Mike. Please go ahead and let's see how this works.
Okay. So that's why I'm here to testify for HB 125 today. That's all I can say. I can't say more. If I'm going to say more, I'm going to cry. So.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Song. Any questions from the committee? And as Representative Bush notes, Ms. Song, if you'd be able to also provide written testimony, I know the committee would appreciate it, and it would be good to have that for the record. And you can coordinate with Representative Tarr or any of us on the committee to make sure that happens. But thank you for taking the time to testify. Seeing no one else online, and I'm fairly confident there's no one in the room to testify, this time I'm going to close public testimony, which takes us to the bill before us. There were no amendments submitted by the amendment deadline. Any commission committee comment or discussion? Representative Ledoux.
No, I think it's a great bill, and I'd like to see it pass.
Other comments from the committee? Representative Wall.
I concur with Representative Ledoux.
Madam Vice Chair.
I move HB 125 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing and hearing no objection, HB 125 moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And at 3:45 p.m., we are adjourned.